In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, the Son of God, fully man, sees into the hearts of those who come to him. He sees into the heart of this young man of great worldly means, by some of the apostles referred to as a ruler or a lawyer. He sees into his heart and he doesn't answer him in the same way that he might have answered another person. In another case, when questioned on the commandments, Jesus summarized them all quickly, and he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment is like the first, and love thy neighbor as thyself." It's curious that in this response to this young man, love of God is not mentioned. In the order of the Ten Commandments as given by Moses, the first four of the Ten Commandments are related to the love of God. None of them are mentioned. Only the other six. And in a special and interesting order, they are given to this man. St. Nikolai Velimirovic explains this in terms that go far beyond what Christ could have made clear to this young man in the condition of faith in the things of the world and in his means to do good that he had. Had the young man followed Jesus, the Christ, he would have learned of these things. But he chose to remain as he was. His confidence was in himself and in his ability to do anything that was asked of him, he was willing to do. He was a man of good heart and good intention. But he thought like the Jews who misunderstood the Ten Commandments as being things that can simply be done, fulfilled. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't do these things. The young man says, after Jesus gives him the list of the six commandments that he mentions, "I have kept all of these things from my youth up." For this young man, as for so many even today, doing as we ought to do, living as a Christian man or woman, is a matter of doing good deeds, what the Jews called a mitzvah, a good act. The young man came to Christ and he asked him in that spirit, "What good thing must I do in order to inherit eternal life?" He was a man of great means, and there was nothing that he was not willing to bend his means to do, to accomplish. "Just tell me and I will do it." But entering into the kingdom of God, entering into eternal life, is not something that can be bought. You actually have to enter. You can't have it as a possession, as you can buy things of the world. And the answer that Jesus gives the man highlights this fact. He tells the young man, starting where he is, what he must do first. And this too has roots in the Old Testament. The prophets say, "Eschew all evil." It means turn against, set your back against all evil and do good. First the one, then the other. And that's the order and the organization in which Jesus gives the young man the commandments that he gives him. Commandments for the young man to follow. First do this, and then you will be able to do this. And the first four: thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness. Each one of these, had the young man followed Jesus, he would have learned in a deeper way. Bishop Nicolai, Saint Nicolai, explains this by appealing to us as Christians to realize that the commandment to not kill for a Christian includes the commandment not to do mortal injury to your own soul. It means not to set the things of the world higher than the value of your own soul, because doing that will kill your soul. We are killing our souls when we depend on the things of the world rather than the life-giving God. We are created to live in the image and likeness of God. If we don't, we will die. Turning toward the world is how death came into the world. If we put the things of the world ahead of the life of our own soul, we are killing our soul. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take your soul and commit it to the love of possessions, because that is adultery. The soul is meant to be wed to God. Christ is the bridegroom. It's clear. This is how a Christian is meant to live. If the young man had followed Christ, he would have learned these things. Do not steal things from the soul and give them to the body. Do not feed your soul with the things of the world, because you are stealing the food that the soul needs to live. Do not bear false witness. Do not witness to others by all of the actions that you do. And we as Christians do this. We witness to the world that prosperity and good reputation in the eyes of others are the most important things in our lives. That's how we live our lives. And when we do that, we are bearing false witness, because those are not the things that are ultimate. We are lying about the truth of life. We are lying about the life that we have committed to Christ. These four commandments are things that must be done, must be undertaken before we can go any further. They are the negative commandments that Christ gives the young man. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Don't do these things. And then he gives him two positive commandments, which cannot be fulfilled or even well undertaken unless we are dealing with the first four. And those two are honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we may not understand what this means, honor your father and your mother. I have not done bad things to my father and my mother. I give them a certain degree of honor, but this isn't the kind of honor that's being commanded of us here. It's a matter of humility. You know, we grow up in our father and our mother's house. And when we reach maturity, there is in us a desire to compete with the father and the mother, to surpass them, or in a more negative way, to feel as though we can never surpass them. But this isn't honoring the father or the mother. It is in a worldly way honoring them, but not in a spiritual way, not at the level of the reality of things. Each one of us comes into the world as children of our father and our mother. Our father and our mother came into the world as children of their father and their mother. None of us is in a situation where the meaning of our life is to excel and surpass, or to bow down in idolatry, false honor to our parents as though they really are some kind of great accomplishment of an ideal that we can never hope to match, or they are something that is to be disdained for not having been good enough and surpass them ourselves. These are ways of dishonoring. The fact that all of us come into the world as infant children of past generations. And there is a similarity between that humility and the humility that comes from treating our neighbor as ourself. Bishop Nicolai has a passage where he gives something that I've never come across expressed in exactly the way he does. And so I would like to read that passage to you. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. In this lower school of practice in good, he says. And what does he mean by this lower school of practice in good? Bishop Nicolai is referring to the fact that our life in this world is not a matter of each one of us as isolated individuals trying, straining to accomplish something on our own separately. Our life in this world as Christians is always related and connected to all of those other Christians to whom we are made one by baptism and the chalice of communion in Christ. All of those living and departed, every one of us lives our lives in a place that is for us in a hierarchy. And we misunderstand the word hierarchy, of course, and we can't remedy that now. But the point is this. We must recognize that we are one person amidst vast numbers of living persons. All of those who are Christians are engaged in the same spiritual effort in life that we are engaged in. Some of them are oriented properly and moving toward God. Some of them are moving away. And it is for us to orient ourselves properly, first by putting off from ourselves the doing of any of those evil things that are covered by the first four commandments given by Christ, and then beginning to engage in the positive commandments. And how do we go about doing that? This level of ascent to God, and there are higher levels that Jesus doesn't begin to mention to the man, because after all, he has not mentioned the love of God. The highest calling that he has mentioned is the love of neighbor as yourself. And the man is so completely misunderstanding where Jesus is coming from that he says, I've done these from my youth up. What else do I need to do? But the real meaning, the real calling of entering into eternal life begins when we first cast off the evil, and then begin to work on the positive movement toward being like Christ. Bishop Nicolai says, in this practice, in this discipline of loving our neighbor as ourself, we learn to love our neighbor so that we may rise to the level at which we love God. Love your neighbor, for this love will save you from self-love, which can cast you into darkness forever. And so it's a repentance of self-love to love your neighbor. Love others as yourself in order to discipline yourself and bring yourself down to equality with others in your own eyes. Love others in order to bring yourself down to the level of equality with others. Humility. Otherwise, pride that comes from riches, which is why this applies to the rich man in particular, otherwise pride will hold sway over you and cast you down into the outer darkness. And it is to this advice, and this is the clearest thing that Jesus says to the young man that contradicts his way of life, love your neighbor as yourself. To this advice, the young man replies, all of these things I've done from my youth up. After the young man departs and fails to follow Christ when he has told him, get rid of all the things that you have, they're standing in your way, follow me, and you'll begin to understand these things. After the young man is gone, Jesus says to the disciples, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And I was gratified to see that St. Nikolai agrees with the Blessed Theophylact in understanding camel to refer to that thick hawser, that thick rope that you use to tie up a ship. And so it's clear to both of them that what Jesus is saying is it's easier for that thick rope that you use to tie up a boat or a ship to the dock to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples ask, if that's so, who can be saved? And Jesus responds, with man this is not possible. In other words, so long as we are functioning as members of this world, who believe in this world, more than anything else, like the rich young man who has the courage to ask Christ, what must I do to inherit eternal life, thinking that surely he who has all of the capacities of this world available to him can do whatever it is and enter. It is impossible in that way, at that level, but with God all things are possible. It is possible for us, when we follow the advice of Christ to the young man, do spiritual battle within ourselves to move toward humility, for that hawser that is our pride to become less and less until finally it becomes a thin thread that can pass through the eye of the needle and we can enter into the kingdom of God. Entrance into the kingdom of God requires that we turn from self-love and from our understanding of the world, that it trumps everything, that the world is the way it is. Bearing false witness, remember. We bear false witness to ourselves, and we convince ourselves that the only way to accomplish anything is by self-reliance and by use of the things of the world and turning our backs on the impractical impossibility of actually inheriting eternal life. Jesus Christ gives us the direction, the advice, and the place to start. We start by casting off every kind of temptation to put the things of the world ahead of the life of the soul, killing the soul, stealing the food of the soul, bearing false witness to others about the reality of spiritual life. Even Orthodox Christians, we do this. And committing adultery by uniting our soul to love of the things of the world and denying ourselves the possibility of shrinking down the thickness of that hawser that ties us to the world so that we can enter into eternal life. We can live in this transformed way, even in this life we are living. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.